Time now for the Seattle Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on your exclusive home for Thunderbirds hockey. 1090 KJR.
Two wins and three games north of the border. The T-Birds come back south for two more road games, looking to jump above 500. With three hockey teams soon to be in the area, we help spread the word that hockey is for everyone. It's time to talk T-Birds on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
Now back to the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show, a weekly look inside T-Birds hockey and the WHL. The Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette.
Well, the T-Birds left the Pacific Northwest for the prairies of Western Canada last week, looking for their season's first road win, and not only got it, they got two, defeating Red Deer in Calgary. Seattle going 2-1 against the Central Division while they were in Alberta. Not done, as we said, on the road. They embark for two more away this weekend. Tomorrow night, they stop at the Toyota Center in Kennewick for their third game already this season against the Tri-City Americans. And then Saturday, it's off to Portland in the first of the 12 regular season home games against the Winterhawks. The T-Birds will be returning home November 8th against Kamloops at 7:35. It's the second Dave and Buster's Pub Night of the season. That also starts a four-game homestand for the T-Birds. Tickets available for all home games on that homestand online at seattlethunderbirds.com. Coming up in the second half of the show, just a reminder that we'll be checking in with a Southern California professor who will profess her love of the game and explain why hockey is for everyone, regardless of race or gender. But first, along with the co-host Andy Ide, it's time to bring in head coach Matt Odette. Matt, I'm sure when you went on the road, you wanted to be greedy and get all 6 points, win all three games. But now, after the fact, you go up there and you get two of the four, you get the 4 points. I'm sure you'll take that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, two out of three ain't bad. You know, playing some good teams out there with a lot of travel. Anytime you can come out with 4 points out of six, I think that's a successful road trip and made it for a nice ride home.
So now you come home, but you don't come home because you're going to go right back out on the road again. You've got two of the three. It's going to end up being five. What you want to have, I'm sure, is a winning road trip, and you need at least one more win, but I'm sure you're, again, going to be greedy and try to get the two Ws.
Yeah, I guess to us this is a new weekend, separate weekend. I guess technically it's five road games in a row, but you know, it's a new challenge, new weekend, divisional games. You know, it all starts with the first one. That's what we're focusing on, and that'll be a big one up and try.
Before you went out on this last swing, you had yet to win on the road, but you get two out of three on the road. Does that help build a little bit of confidence? Winning on the road's tough. You have some guys who haven't done that yet. Does that help build some confidence going into these next two?
Yeah, I think so. I think our guys were oblivious of the fact that we hadn't won on the road, but you know, we had some close games. The Everett game was you know, a good hard-fought game that I think we played really well. So it's nice to break through and get that you know, zero taken care of in the road win column, and you know, we'll just move forward building off of that.
I know, and you told Andy too after the game in Calgary, you kind of threw out or dangled some carrots at the team to, you know, get this win. This is what you'll get as a reward. But there's things you do always, you know, kind of incentively to try to get the guys to get you some points, some Ws, whether it's, you know, a bus stop for candy or a day off from practice.
Yeah, for sure. They're, you know, sweeten the pot a little bit. Obviously, the 2 points are nice, and, you know, anytime we have the opportunity to you know, throw them a bone and give them some incentives, we try to do that. It's just all part of the motivation. You know, it's amazing how guys get fired up for a candy stop. You know, as far as the day off, you know, coming off a long road trip, it does make sense rest-wise, and also gives us the opportunity to use it for motivation. So it all worked out in the end.
Monday in Calgary, you had a young guy make his debut, and then Sam Popovich, he gets on the score sheet with an assist. How did you think he played overall?
I think he played well. You know, it's a big stage playing in the Saddle Dome, first WHL game, and you know, I think we really liked Poppy from training camp and the games that he played in preseason. Hardworking kid, very tenacious. You know, does a lot of good things when he's out there. So it's. you know, we were happy to get him in the lineup, and I thought he did really well for himself.
He became the fourth player from that 2018 Bantam draft to make his debut and play. Obviously, you got the three who are here since the beginning of the season in UChaz, Siona, and Roulette. Mekhi Sanders, unfortunately, hasn't been able to make his debut because he's been injured. He was part of that. And Reed Schaefer's been practicing with you, and possibly we'll see his debut here coming up. I looked at the numbers. You combine all those players, and I don't throw Schaefer because he hasn't played yet, but going back to some of the debuts last year, 43 games, 13.6 goals, 7 assists from that group so far. And again, that's a lot of third and fourth line minutes, but that's got to have you excited. But what is it about that group that should have the fans excited as well?
Well, I think, those are really good numbers for kids playing that age. You don't see that. I think there's a blend of everything. There's, the creativity and awesome offensive flair that you see in Connor Roulette. There's the physicality and power game of, Lucas Siona. I think Kai UChaz is a blend of both, a two-way centerman there. And if you add Poppy as a, do a little bit of everything type of guy, and, Chase, projects to be a power forward as well. So we got a blend of everything. A lot of guys who can do different things, and that's what you need moving forward. If that's our core for our future, and you need different pieces of the puzzle to have a complete team that can contend for a championship.
And some might ask, okay, if you're so high on this group, why not just have Poppy and Schaefer here to start the year and play together? But you don't want to have too many young guys and have to divide a lot of ice time up too sparingly among that group.
Yeah, for sure. For guys to develop at that age, they need, they need the right amount of ice time. They need to get an opportunity, and where they're at right now, they're getting a chance to play and get those minutes. And with all our young guys, it is sometimes a puzzle to get them all in the lineup and get them sufficient development time. And but that is the goal. These guys need to play to get better, and these guys have had opportunity to do that here.
And over this last stretch, and especially in the three games over the weekend, Wedman and Henrik Urbinski have really carried the load a lot for you guys offensively. You kind of expect that for those two guys. But what do you got to do, or how important is it going to be to start getting some secondary scoring from down the lineup?
Yeah, it's important. It's nice to see Weds and Ribby come alive. They're a big part of our road trip there. And, like you said, we need secondary scoring to step up and provide that for us. We've been mixing different combinations together to hopefully spark something. We'll see. Some guys have played some good hockey. Some of the younger guys are doing some good things and getting put into some higher leverage situations. So just a matter of keep juggling the chemistry until something sticks.
Yeah, and going back to those young guys, a couple of guys who weren't necessarily the 16-year-old variety of rookie, but a couple of rookies on the roster nonetheless seem to be getting more comfortable now playing in the Western Hockey League in Mike Haran and Brandon Williamson. And I know you had Haran in that last game up in Calgary on that top line. He had a big assist on that first goal. Do you see that? Do you see them looking more comfortable out on the ice now?
Yeah, for sure. Haran, it seems like when he plays with those two guys, something happens, so he might get more opportunity there. Guys like Williamson, Davidson, these O2s are doing some good things as well. So not only do we have a lot of O3s, we have some O2s that are making the jump. Mauner's been playing heavy minutes for us right from day one. So still in the development process for those guys as well. But we're seeing some nice progress and some good things from those guys.
In the Monday game against Calgary, we talk a little bit afterwards, but you had some big penalty kills. That's a pretty good potent power play that Calgary features. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about the 4-on-3 kill and how tough that is. They had almost a full minute of 4-on-3 there in the third period. You got a one-goal lead. That's a big part of the game. How much tougher is it to kill off a 4-on-3 than a regular 5-on-4?
It's much tougher. Obviously, lots of room out there. Lots of seams can get created in those situations. But, in that point of the game, I think our guys really knew, how important that was. You dig a little bit deeper, ready to sacrifice the body a little bit more than, maybe a 5-on-4 situation. So Hags did a good job making sure the guys were ready there, and that was a huge, huge penalty kill for us.
And you're listening to the Weekly Coaches Show with head coach Matt Audette. Matt, you know, the three games, the one in the middle was the one that you lost. That was in Edmonton. But it was a fairly easy game, I think, afterwards to break down and say why. Here are some of the reasons why we did. And was that the reason then why you were able to have a better performance in Calgary? Because you were able to take video, show some of these guys what maybe they didn't do well enough, and then apply it to that Calgary game. And is that a good sign that they could bounce back that quickly from that kind of a loss and have a better effort?
Yeah, it is, and I think watching the pre-scout video of Edmonton leading up to that game, we could see a lot of the things that they do well, and we knew we were in for a tough test. Not only do they have a lot of skill, they work extremely hard, and I think the flow of the game really affected us there. You know, we did some good things to get back in that game to make it 3-2, and you know, we had a key penalty kill at the end of the second, which you know, penalty kills, they factor into momentum as well. If you're not getting your clears, if you're botching those, it leads to a lot of time in their end and a lot of frustration on our end. So that happened at the end of the second. We weren't getting our clears. It led to some momentum for them going into the third period, which we took another penalty to, and we had a kill to start. And we really had trouble getting our clears in that one, which carried over to the next round of shifts, where we couldn't make plays, couldn't get pucks out of our end. And basically lost all the momentum that we had. So, you know, and we were able to show some of the things Edmonton, you know, what Edmonton was doing as far as their work ethic stuff, you know, to remind us this is what good teams do. This is how we have to play as well. So it was a good learning experience that game to get us back on track.
And the next night you were playing a Calgary team that had played the afternoon before in a big outdoor game. And Are you aware of that, you and your coaches going into that? And you guys came out guns blazing. How key is the extra key to have a good start when you know you had a team that might be a little fatigued as they played less than 24 hours before?
Yeah, it's important. You know, that was one of our keys, is to get a good start and get a jump on these guys, you know, potentially sleepy from traveling the day before. But, you know, that's the WHL. We've been in situations like that. You know, the time that we played Victoria there, they were sitting there waiting for us the first game of the week for them, and we had played two tough road games and traveled 20 hours. So sometimes you get the advantage in those situations, sometimes you don't, and you hope to capitalize when it's favorable for you.
And nobody ever really feels sorry for the other person.
No, never, never.
We'll step away. We'll come back with more of this week's edition of the Coaches Show, including talking about how hockey is there for everyone, no matter of your sex, your religion, your creed. And we'll talk to somebody from Southern California who can attest to that. The head coach returns as well on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This is the Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on 1090 KJR.
Welcome back to the second half of the Weekly Coaches Show. The head coach, Matt Audette, along with our co-host, Andy Ide, will be joining us later. First, though, in a couple of seasons, as we mentioned earlier, there are going to be three hockey teams in the area, all trying to bring fans in, especially fans new or unfamiliar with the game of hockey. And that means attracting fans from across all spectrums, regardless of race or gender. And a while back, I had a chance to sit down and chat with someone looking to help bridge the cultural divide when it comes to hockey. Renee Hess is an adjunct professor. She's a community organizer. She's a freelance pop culture writer. And she's down in sunny California, so you might be wondering, what has this got to do with hockey? Well, she's also an avid hockey fan, and she started a group called Black Girl Hockey Club. So we're going to talk about that. Renee, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
How did you get interested in the game of hockey?
Well, you know, like you said, I'm in sunny Southern California, so there's no natural hockey going on here. But I came across the game when I was actually traveling on the East Coast in Pittsburgh, and my first live game that I attended here in California, I was hooked, and I've been ever since.
So what made you pursue getting a group together, Black Girl Hockey Club? What was the impetus behind starting that? Once you got into the game, why did you think that this was another step you could take?
You know, I started going to hockey games in Anaheim, California, and in Los Angeles, and I realized even though I come from a diverse area when I would attend hockey games, I would not see a lot of people of color, specifically black women. And it got me thinking, where are all the black girl hockey fans? And so I sent out a call on social media, and I wanted us to get together, not only to converse about hockey, you know, over the internet, but also to attend live games, because really nothing like experience going to a live hockey game. And that was about a year ago, decided we wanted to get a group together and go see a hockey game in Washington, D.C. And so I flew across the country and met up with about 45 other black women, hockey moms, hockey players, and hockey kids. And we got to go see a Capitals game in D.C., and it kind of whirlwinded after that, found all sorts of black girl hockey fans all over the country, and decided this was something that was really important for the hockey community, our visibility out in the game.
And I should mention that I was kind of put on your trail by a fan of the Thunderbirds, who I believe is part of that group. So they are all over the country. I'm sure you're probably familiar with the skit that Chance the Rapper did on Saturday Night Live about, you know, he being someone not familiar with the game and say, let's do that hockey. And it's
right.
A funny skit. But the reason I think it's funny, and maybe you can agree or maybe disagree, is that because traditionally the black community is not thought of as being interested or knowledgeable about the game of hockey.
Yeah, I think that was where the joke was. You know, historically, though, black African Canadians have been really involved in the game of hockey. You know, there is an entire history behind hockey in Nova Scotia and the black Africans there creating the, I think it's called the Negro Maritime Hockey League back in the 1800s. So there's a long history of African history and hockey. But yeah, that is kind of a misconception that there aren't black folks that are interested in hockey. And that was even a misconception that I had, not being able to see that representation out at live games. And so that was one thing that I really wanted to do with the Black Girl Hockey Club, was just to bring that visibility to the game and to the other fans, to let everybody know that we're here. We love the game as much as everybody else, and we want to be part of, you know, the hockey community.
Now, I noticed in the literature you sent me on your group that as an educator, you also use hockey to discuss some of the topics like discrimination, the wage gap, sports fandom, and the black community. How do you integrate that into some of your discussions?
You know, I teach a argument writing class at a small university in Southern California, and I've used the U.S. women's national team to talk about the wage gap and the fact that, you know, they boycotted the Olympic committee so that they could get higher wages, and the travel rights that the other Olympians get. We have a whole week of women's hockey that we talk about in my class, just talking about the wage gap and the gender pay disparities that we see in sports in general. And then when we bring in, you know, the race and gender wage gap for black women, it's really something that brings the point home to my students, because a lot of them are interested in sports. Even if they're not interested in hockey, they can think about how that affects them and the people that they care about. And it's just one other way that I use as a teacher to get across the point to a bunch of knuckleheads. Head students.
Again, our guest is Professor Renee Hess. She is the founder of Black Girl Hockey Club. Seattle is going to be getting an NHL team here in a couple of years. They have the two what we call major junior teams here in Seattle and the one in Everett. So there is a growing hockey community here. Hockey becoming bigger and bigger where you're at too, with the introduction of, you know, the Kings and the Anaheim Ducks and up in the Bay Area, San Jose. Do you see more people from the Black community participating in the game, not just being fans? We have a player on the roster here in Seattle who's from the local area, and he is an African-American, and we've had others in the past who have played. Not a great number of them, but do you see, once it starts to get into some of these larger cities, that more people of color will start playing the game?
I think that there are a lot of reasons why kids of color don't play hockey. You know, we can go into institutional racism. We can talk about financial gatekeeping. We can talk about accessibility to different programs. I think that it really needs to come into the community in a variety of ways, whether it's deck hockey at the local YMCA or, you know, clubs putting on local clinics in neighborhoods that perhaps don't have access to arenas as readily as others. But I do think that the Black community is interested and excited about the various sports that come into our town. And I do think that Seattle has a big opportunity to connect with the diverse community surrounding the new team that's coming in, for sure.
As you mentioned, you just established the group, the hockey club, the Black Girl Hockey Club, in 2018. Is it maybe a goal or a dream at some point to have chapters in the different cities in the NHL?
Yeah, I think that's the goal, you know, just to gather people across the nation who are excited about hockey and passionate and want to introduce to their communities. I would love to have chapters all across Canada and America, and who knows where else.
And they can find you online at www.blackgirlhockey.com. You also are on Twitter at Black Girl Hockey. And people are interested, they can contact you, I'm sure. And you have meetups. You mentioned, you know, these meetups that you have, and you'd like this to grow.
Yeah, we have a website, blackgirlhockeyclub.com, with information about the four different meetups that we have planned. Our first one is actually this Friday. We will be back in Washington, D.C. And then in 1 month, I'm bringing the group to me, and we're going to have our first West Coast meetup in Los Angeles. And then we're going to try to traverse the winter on the East Coast and head out to Pittsburgh for a January 31st game, and then round it out down south in Dallas in March.
Well, hopefully in a couple of years when the NHL arrives in Seattle, you can make a week of it up here. Come see the NHL team, see the junior teams as well, and promote your group and get more members as you go forward. But we want to thank you for your time joining us on the program, and good luck with the Black Girl Hockey Club as you move forward.
Thanks so much, Tom. It was a pleasure.
Time now for some final thoughts from the head coach, Matt Audette. Matt, the road work, as we mentioned, is not done. You've got the two games coming up back in the U.S. division. You'll be looking actually for your first win in the division. You've got a couple of points, but haven't won a game against your divisional opponents yet. And first up, Beck Warm and the Tri-City Americans.
Yeah, you know, he's been good for them. You know, in the games that we've played, he's a good goaltender, but I didn't realize we hadn't got a win against our division. We'll have to fix that for sure. You know, divisional games are huge. You want to get them. They're key for the standings. And, you know, Tri-City's not an easy place to win in. And I thought we had some progress in that game. Last game, we did a lot of good things that unfortunately didn't lead to a win. But I think you know, some building blocks and some formula that we can take and move forward with into Friday's game.
And Saturday in Portland, is obviously that's always a big game. They'll have a big crowd there. It's a TV game. When those games happen, do you talk to your team about, I mean, it could be a negative, there could be pressure with knowing it's on TV, but could that also be a positive, like, hey, this is a chance to get excited and go out and play hard?
Yeah, a little bit, and I don't think we get into it too much. I think the guys already know, you know, that it's on TV and stuff like that, but we definitely ramp up the fact that it's a rivalry game, and, you know, two teams that don't generally not get along over the years, so that gives us a little bit more motivation. And you know, what more can you want a Saturday night game against Portland? So the guys can get up for that, no problem.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this week's show. Thanks again to our guest, Professor Renee Hess of blackgirlhockey.com. Of course, the head coach, Matt Odette, and co-host Andy Eid. I'm Tom Bolling. Until tomorrow night from the Toyota Center in Kennewick, this has been the Coach's Show on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This has been the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette. Join us again next Thursday night at 6 on your home for Thunderbirds hockey, 1090 KJR.